Welcome to Inside Swindonnet Support with top guests and top tips.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Insights from NetSupport Live from Bet 2024. And I am absolutely delighted to have the Ranganation, the Ranganator himself, Darren White. Darren, author, teacher, language teacher as well, Zuta Law, as they might say. Obviously, a big career in education. You wouldn't believe the gentleman's nearly as old as me. He doesn't look it, does he, at all? But Ranga Edu, where did that come from? If you want to follow Darren, Ranga_EDU on socials, but where did that come from?
So Ranga's my nickname. So I played football for years, played cricket, played hockey as well. So Ranga's my nickname just because of the hair colour. Australian terminology. I don't know how it ended up with me, but the Red and Nearly Ginger Association.
That's
where it came from. Originally, it was Ranga the trainer because I was doing a lot of training, but then that just grew and decided to kind of just mix it up and make it work.
Fully embrace the the Ranga Nation, the Ranga Master.
Exactly.
But I love that. I'll say this while I'm looking to you in the camera. Sorry, viewers. You're a force of good, I would say, in education.
Really.
Obviously, you know, asking about, you know, that whole Simon Sinek thing, asking, you know, starting with the why and asking the sort of questions, the whole book which explores all of that as well. I know because he's messaged me privately asking me about it as well, but working on another book at the moment as well. But a real force for good. And if you're looking for any kind of support around teaching and learning with technology, digital strategy, those sort of things, and you don't want me, then reach out to this man here, because he's, you know, he doesn't just, you know, talk the talk, he walks the walk as well. And I want to unpick that a little bit in this conversation. So one of the biggest issues that I've noticed, or one of the biggest problems with implementation, is teacher confidence. We're using technology, and then linking is the competence, actually knowing how to use it and those sort of things. So I know how I'd answer the question, but I'm keen to, how do you counter that?
I think I've got a number of different approaches depending on the situation, and that's something that's really come out of using that wider educational experience, because I'm now working in a role within the trust across 57 schools right across England. We see a massive difference from region to region and from school to school. So that one size fits all really just doesn't work. And I know it's an old adage, but it really doesn't. So we've taken a number of different approaches within our trust. And I recommend that as well, personally, in that we've made really good use of Google Workspace skills through Canopy, because that gives our staff that bite-sized opportunity to upskill in an area that they particularly find relevant, in a hands-on way that not only teaches them how to do it, like you say, that competency, but it also helps them build their confidence. It will accept the fact that as Google users within our schools, there's invariably more than one way to do it, sometimes six or seven ways of doing something. And it will give you that feedback on what's the most efficient way to do that. And every time I do it, even when I'm doing it with training, I always learn something new as well, which I think is really valuable. And they're constantly updating the content with new aspects. So that's one aspect. And then within our trust as well, we've restructured our IT support.
Right.
And we've introduced a role called the Technology Support Officer. And their role is really to be the glue between technology and teaching. So we have 16 technology support officers, and they work across a number of schools, sometimes three or four, sometimes five or six, depending on the regional variation. But their role is sort of 50% technical, 50% getting into the classroom and supporting teachers. So they're the little voice on the shoulder that's kind of going, go on, you've got this. But if it's somebody who's really not confident, they'll sit down with them, they'll give them that support, that coaching, they'll co-plan in some situations, they'll come to the lesson and say, look, you want to use this tool, but you're really not confident with it. I'll deal with the tool side of it. You deal with the lesson side of it. And then we'll see how that goes and we'll review it. And then next time, maybe I'll take a 10% step back and you do 10% more. So you gradually withdraw and build that confidence as you're doing it. And we're seeing real benefits through that as well.
Brilliant stuff, thank you. It is about sort of helping to scaffold. It's interesting, you know. I wonder what your thoughts are around this, because you know, there often seems a disconnect. As education professionals, we know how to teach.
Yep.
Right? But there seems to be a disconnect between how we work with young people and how we work with colleagues.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
I think it's time pressures.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, a number of colleagues I've spoken to and friends I've spoken to just over the course of these 3 days, you know, BET has turned into more of a EdTech and CPD event. And I think that's really beneficial because it's so hard now for schools to be able to afford to get people out of school to attend conferences and things like that, even training courses, because of the cost involved. What tends to happen is because they're trying to work with, you know, giving some work-life balance back and the teacher workload side of things, a lot of inset days and things are often sort of conflated into twilight sessions to give people, you know, a chance for an early holiday to get away before the prices go up and all that kind of thing.
So you're
then trying to shoehorn everything into a couple of days. But you've also got the really vital things like your annual safeguarding updates, you know, your fire drills and all those kind of things to get into those days.
And they're statutory, aren't they? You have to do them, don't you?
Yeah. So you end up with, okay, your first day might be back-to-back, really mundane, boring things that the vast majority of people are well aware of, but you've got to do them. And I think there was a poll on TeacherTap, I think last week, where they asked people's reflection on their most recent inset day. And it's something like 90% said they hadn't really got anything out of it. So doing that micro approach of either whether it's one-to-one support or coaching, or making it available on demand, searchable, easily accessible at a time that suits them, I think is the way forward. But also things like this, and I don't think enough school leaders recognise what a valuable CPD opportunity this is for staff.
Yeah.
Because it's always come across as being like a sales event, but actually there's some really great conversations, there's some fantastic sessions in the theatres that you can pick up some amazing things to take back to your school for far less than the cost of 4 or 5 courses in a week, you know.
Yeah, that's really increased over time. It's interesting, and also I can dive into that a bit more, because sometimes the issue or the problem, if you can sort CPD for most of your staff, but for people like you, obviously you're a go-getter, you know, people who are digital leaders within their schools, you know, they are the experts, right? So, so where do you go for your CPD? I think BET is a fantastic place for you, because sometimes it's about the networking and the conversations, like you say, like to you and me and others and so forth. But beyond events like this, where do you go for your maybe it's social media, but maybe it's who do you go to for all those sort of things?
I think a lot of it is through social media and through the connections I've made over the years. I cannot recommend highly enough things like the Google Innovator program. I'm also a certified coach and trainer as well, and that's enabled me to establish some great connections with people who are trusted friends, are in some cases like-minded, but at the same time willing to challenge me, you know. And great people like Al Kingsley, yourself, John Neal, who you can jump on a conversation with, and they, you know, they will be honest with you and kind of give you that sense check, which is really helpful. But it is also as well about, like you say, coming and listening in on other talks and hearing what people have got to say, and then going away and reflecting on it. And that's the bit that sometimes we don't have the time to do when we're in school all the time. So I appreciate it. I'm very fortunate to have that time to process a lot of that information.
It's interesting. It goes in many ways to the power of the PLN, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right. And it's a phrase I learned from an old colleague of mine, Jim Smith, who wrote the Lazy Teacher's Handbook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm very fortunate to work with him for more than a decade. But something that he said about his work with colleagues at our schools, same with students, I'm not looking to catch people out.
Yeah.
I'm looking to catch people in.
Yeah.
Right? And so that professional challenge sort of thing, great. But it's not about, hey, I'm whipping the rug out from underneath you.
No.
Professional conversation, how can you move the conversation forward? How can you support each other?
Yeah.
All those sort of things. So lovely to hear that. Look, I know we've talked quite some time now, and we're running out of time as well, but I wanted to talk to you about AI.
Okay.
Right, so it's huge, and I know you've got a lot of thoughts
real.
Around it. We're going to use Hey Jen, and this is actually Darren speaking in Mandarin, live from a rooftop. No, he's not. So many things we could actually dive into around AI, but I'm going to jump into the conversation about efficacy, impact, and all those sort of things. Because I know you're a similar mindset to me. Just because you can do something with technology doesn't mean to say that you should. So it's not a should you be using AI, but what ethical ways are you seeing people using AI for support workload reduction or learning or teaching?
I think it's still very early days. Within our trust, we've gone down the route of saying that AI is not blocked, it's locked. So we've empowered the head teachers to say, when I think my staff are ready, we will allow them to be able to use AI. And what I've been running for all of our school leaders and their senior leadership teams are AI awareness sessions, so that they're skilled up, they're confident that they can then go on and pass that message on. So we've been using a lot of the Magic Studio within Canva. Brilliant for photo editing, but also from the point of view of converting documents into presentations, presentations into documents, interactive whiteboards into quick summaries, which in some ways has taken out the need to be able to do a feedback survey and all those kind of things, because you can just ask people on the whiteboard when they start the session, how are you feeling? Ask them again at the end, and then the magic switch will transform that into a summary for you. So that's a real game changer, because then you've got a takeaway for those people.
You're not saying,
here's all your post-it notes. You might read them, you might put them in the bag, you might throw them away. You're saying, here's the summary of everything within seconds. So that's been really interesting. And all of our staff across the schools and all of our students have got access to Canva. So that's one area. We're also currently going through some trials with Duet AI. Very early stages and some promising signs there. And we've done some work with Bain, a consultancy company, around teaching using ChatGPT, and 30 of our teachers were part of a pilot around prompt craft and all those kind of things. Obviously shared a lot of your resources, a little book of prompts and everything else. So that's all within, we've put together an AI toolkit for our schools that they can go to and get resources, prompts, videos of how to do it and all of those kind of things. And also some resources for AI awareness sessions for students and for parents as well. Because I think, you know, there is so much out there and it is a minefield. But parents need to be aware. Kids are using it.
I love that you mentioned the P word. Because it's a village, right?
Yeah.
It's all your stakeholders. And that's such an important aspect of digital strategy. And so it's so good that you've got your... Earlier in the conversation, we had that sort of, you know, that micro view, you know, small steps, all that sort of thing, but then that macro, it's lovely to see all those different things. Look, our time is up, unfortunately, Darren.
It's been a pleasure.
But please do connect with Darren on social media. Ranga_edu is where you'll find him. He's Darren White, only the one R, on LinkedIn, where he also shares an awful lot. And what I like about Darren sharing as well, not only does he sort of share resources, but he also challenges you. He asks really pertinent questions, and what I've loved about Darren's journey is that sort of thing. It really inspires my thinking and gets me thinking outside the box. And I know you're a big fan of the whole sort of 10x thinking.
Absolutely.
Embracing his inner Google. Listen, thank you so much, Darren, for taking the time to join me on the show today.
And
thank you for joining us here live from BET 2024 for another episode of Insights from NetSupport here at BET 2024. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.